and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the second take voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. Yeah, not happy.
No.
We did a really good opening. Do you know, I wish people could have heard the opening. We just did.
It was the best.
It was probably the best we've ever done. And then what happened?
I will hold my hands up here. I made an error.
Yeah.
I did. I forgot to turn your sound levels up.
All of a sudden, the language turned a little bit blue. Fair to say. It's a good job we didn't put it out, actually, because anyone that is listening under the age of 16, I think we'd have had a few complaints.
And it turned blue, like the lovely clear skies that we have in the sky. We spoke a lot about that, didn't we?
We did. And you said how you love it. I said it's terrible. I used the word apricity, which, look that word up. It's an excellent word. And I advise you all to drop it in from time to time. You really impress people. A-P-R-I-C-I-T-Y, apricity. That is when you feel the heat of the sun on a cold day. That's the way that I understand it.
Right.
Yeah, which you like. I don't. I prefer 20 degree heat, 25 ideally, as a goalkeeper, no wind, lovely conditions. And in fact, we've seen it. This weekend brings us lovely, perfectly back onto goalkeeping, in that it's that much tougher when it's cold, windy, snowing, horrendous.
And you went to some games. By the way, you're doing a great job of recapping what we did.
Pretty much everything. So we're now analysing what we just spoke about when you messed up. But yeah, I did. I went to two games. I went to Luton versus Cardiff, and I went to Ipswich versus Crewe. And I felt for the goalkeepers. Certainly in the Luton game, heavy wind, difficult to strike through it, difficult to get distance. And then again in the Ipswich, just so, so cold. You're watching the goalkeepers, and as I do, watching both goalkeepers, just trying to do whatever they could to keep warm for the 90 minutes. But it does make it that much tougher, especially like trying to generate power when your feet are that little bit colder, your hands are that bit colder. So I'm actually surprised we haven't seen that many errors this weekend. We've seen one or two, which I think are weather related, but haven't actually seen too many.
That's true, because whenever it gets cold and wet and windy, you always say, watch out for the goalkeeping errors. With snow, it doesn't actually happen as much. Not that I can remember. I can't think of any really high-profile snow-based goalkeeping errors.
Snow-based errors, let me think. I tell you what I do remember was when you're training in snow, it can play with the eyes a little bit. The ball seems to move a little bit more, especially when you've got that white background. It just confuses you a little bit. But no, not many snow-based errors.
Were you ever pelted with snowballs as a goalkeeper?
Like by fans or by teammates?
By fans,
by
yeah.
Fans. No, that didn't happen. I'll be honest, I didn't play loads of games in the snow from memory. Because ordinarily, especially League 1, League 2 level, you often find the game does get called off. Or even Championship level back then, I think of the pitches we used to play on. Whereas now, pretty much anything Premier League, Championship, even League One, they always find a way to play it.
Okay, before we move on, because I think we've done well here. We've done okay. There was a bit more fun, a bit more laughter.
I enjoyed the first take a lot better. Yeah. You guys have really missed out. It was excellent. Favourite, yeah.
You invented at some point some gloves didn't you, that were warming for the hands?
Yes, they were, but it didn't quite work. One of my many inventions. I went on Dragon's Den back in the day, actually. I don't know if I mentioned
really?
That. No. I did, yeah. One of my many inventions, and it was to have a little pocket in the back of the glove. You put a heat pack in the pocket, which in theory would keep the hands nice and warm. But all that ended up happening was I heated the back of my hand and the fingertips were still freezing. So I actually, in the last take, I gave this exact analogy, which was like when you cook something. Not that I cook all that much, but when you cook something, it's crispy on the outside, but still frozen in the middle. It's kind of like that. Didn't really warm the whole hands.
Yeah, and see, that's where I initially made a gag about you not cooking, and we laughed, we had joked, so much fun. Such a riot.
We really connected in that moment.
Okay, we've got, what would be the solution there, by the way, for the warm gloves? How do you counteract that?
Great question, because you kind of need it to go almost through the fingers, but then it could impact the grip, especially if it was on that side, the latex. So I don't know if there is one. I really don't. But if someone finds it, I tell you what, millionaires overnight.
Okay, we've got plenty, as always, coming up from the Premier League and the EFL. Shall we get back on with the show?
Let's do it.
Okay, we are going to start, I think, with Brighton 0, Leeds United 0. Two good performances from Ian Melier and Robert Sanchez.
Favourite game of the weekend. You see, this is what goalkeepers live for. A quality 0-0 draw, two excellent goalkeepers, lots of saves. This is what football's all about.
Perfect. The perfect weekend.
It's you know, don't get me started on these 4-all draws, 5-all draws, like horrendous. But no, watching these two, and they were both very, very good on the day. Rob Sanchez, of course, coming back in after his suspension. A couple of excellent saves, one with his feet in particular. I just thought he took up a very good position. Interestingly, and I know we're going to talk about a few of the other goals, I think it was Dubravka that got done on the angle. And where there were similarities with this one and that one, in that Dubravka did concede, Dubravka decides to go with the hands, whereas Robert Sanchez takes up the position, a set position, and for that one in and around his feet, tends to go with the feet. And I think we are seeing more and more of that, goalkeepers that have the ability to recognise at which point you switch from feet to hands. As so many now, when the ball's in that close, they don't even consider going down with the hand now. And certainly I thought Robert Sanchez did that very well. And then the next save, the save towards the end, bottom corner, I thought was excellent. Just the fact that it's taken the deflection, it's going to squirm in the corner. It's definitely going in the corner. And the speed at which he drops to the line, takes up a great set position, gets across to his right-hand side, the agility he shows to get down into the corner, top, top save.
And Melier, too. Very good save from Leandro Trossard. The fingertip onto the post, and then two from Solly March.
Yeah, well, it just made me laugh listening to the commentary. I thought you might have had a commentary corner on this, in that he did make the comment, oh, it doesn't change the path too much. Yeah, it does. It changes it from hitting the inside of the post and going in to hitting the post. Just a mental comment. I think even the second one, the comment was, it comes off Melier. Well, no, Melier gets up, fantastic tip over the bar. But it was that first one in particular, because that slight fingertip, the fact that it hits the post and goes out, without that slight fingertip, it is definitely a goal. And it really was full stretch in the corner. The power that he showed to get across to it was top class.
Yeah, good shout on the commentary corner, actually. You picked up on that. Well done.
You're welcome.
And he got a kiss on the head as well from a centre-back, Ian Melier. Love to see that. Recognition, a kiss on the head.
Nice. I mean, a high five will do. But if you want to go a step further, I mean, is that what it's going to be now?
Ever get kissed on the head by a teammate?
No, I didn't. It was normally the high five. The one that I always enjoyed was where you make a great save and you'd wait for people to come over to you to give you the high five or the tap on the back. But if they didn't, you would go and find them. You know, you'll see keepers do it. Just watch. I always enjoy that when keepers make a great save. They get up and you see the look in their face. They know they've made a great save. They're sort of waiting for someone to come. And if someone doesn't, they go out and like lend a hand, you know, just to get the high five, just to be like, yeah, I made a good save there.
You mentioned as well there about not liking the 4-4s. Serious question. If we can be serious for a moment.
Let's try.
When you have played in a 4-4, you've played in a 6-6, right? 6-6? I mean, did you play in a 6-6?
Yes, I did.
You did?
You don't need to bring that up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my point being that when you've been in that type of game, a striker, a midfielder, maybe a defender, I don't know, would often come out going, what a game, lads. That must have been an incredible experience. But for you, are you genuinely like, I hated every minute of that and I prefer to have the boring 0-0?
Yeah, I think that one as well. When you're away to Dagenham on a Tuesday night, I don't think anyone really comes off saying that was a fantastic experience for everyone. I think it was a pretty terrible experience from memory. No, and just to clarify as well, because I know, you know, you've obviously brought up the 6-6. I've never conceded more than 4 in 90 minutes. That was extra time. So we were 4 all after 90 minutes and then 6-6. Just to clarify, the other times I conceded 4 against QPR, Manchester United twice. But anyway, how do I come off? I come off feeling, not good. It's frustrating because you can come off and have had a good game. And in fact, the two times I conceded 4 against United, I played reasonably well in both games. So it was a strange feeling because you're coming off and feeling, well, I've made a load of saves. Actually could have been that much more. Didn't really have much chance on the goals. So I think it's all in context. You know, that Dagenham one in particular, I was at fault for 3 at least, if not 4. So you come off feeling pretty terrible. And I think as a goalkeeper as well, it's always a strange one because, again, you're only as good as the players in front of you. You know, you could keep 10 clean sheets in a row but not have a single shot on target. You know, so it looks great, your CV, and people are talking about all your clean sheets, but you're having nothing to do. Whereas you could be in top form and making save after save. You know, there's a few examples in the league at the moment of goalkeepers that are making so many saves, playing brilliantly, but they're in a team that are down the bottom of the league.
Okay, well, you mentioned Martin Dubravka there, back in for his first start of the season. A decent performance, Newcastle losing at Arsenal 2-0, but played pretty well. You mentioned the goal scored by Bukayo Saka. We should also reference the quite incredible stop from Aaron Ramsdale from the Jonjo Shelvey effort.
Yeah, brilliant save. Another brilliant save. He's got a certain technique on that one there where he doesn't necessarily move his feet, but he doesn't need to because he's so powerful and the agility he's got. Whereas some goalkeepers go top hand, he does prefer the lower hand, so to speak, but does it brilliantly. And this one, yeah, this is arrowing in. And the power and athleticism that he uses to get up to his left, and it's that moment that he makes a save. It's another beautiful photo. You know, at that moment, to have the body in that position, to be so far off the ground, arching your back in that way. Yeah, top, top save. A save that not many goalkeepers can make, certainly. And Dubravka, as you say, I thought he came in and did well. The save over the free kick. Again, the classic one, up over the wall and down. That's the one. Up over the wall and down. Got across well. Didn't read it. Didn't cheat. Got himself over. Good parry. I thought the save from the header was good. Moved across the line. Parried it to his left. They should have scored. Aubameyang, of course, put it wide. But there wasn't much more that Dubravka could do in that moment. The only thing I would say on the goal, and I just mentioned it there, and I don't. It's obviously not a mistake. Never a mistake from something like that. But I just think it's an interesting technical point. That a lot of goalkeepers now, we spoke about David De Gea for years doing this. We just mentioned it in terms of Robert Sanchez making a save from a very similar position, in that when they are coming in on the angle like that and there isn't much of an angle, whether you do adopt a technique of essentially just deciding you're going to go with your feet for anything that's lower than waist height. And that's essentially what Robert Sanchez did, and we see a lot of goalkeepers do. Whereas I think Dubravka, probably similar technique to what I would have had, which was always go with your hands. You know, take up a slightly lower set position. Can you collapse quickly and get a hand to it? And I just think the way that goalkeeping's moving, you are seeing more and more goalkeepers deciding to go with their feet.
There's actually two other examples of that that we'll get onto in a moment. It's funny, isn't it, when you see so many examples in the same set of matches. But Dubravka, I suppose it just feels like it was a formality, like it was inevitable at some point that he was going to come back in.
Yeah, it's just such an interesting situation that they've got there that I think it's always going to be very difficult for Carl Darlow while he is at Newcastle. I think it's as simple as that. And the reason I say that is that even if Dubravka were to leave, I think it's more perception than anything that when he's come in, he has done well, but it always feels like he's a mistake or a, you know, half a mistake away from a Dubravka coming back in if Dubravka's fit. You just wonder whether, and again, I'm just throwing this out there as you know, a potential idea, but it won't happen because I think he has signed a new long-term contract, but whether it's that one where you make a sideways move, if you can, into the Premier League as a number one, and then, of course, you start fresh and you don't have maybe some of the ideas about you that fans or staff or whoever it is might have about you that have been built from the last few years. Because I think ordinarily when he plays, he does play very well, but I just think it's always going to be very, very difficult for him to nail down that number one spot.
Let's move on to Brentford, your old club, and Alvaro Fernandez. First clean sheet since stepping in for David Raya. Still looks a little bit shaky at times. I watched that game yesterday and I'm quite surprised by his footwork. When I say shaky, I mean with the ball at his feet. Now, that's the one area where I thought he would be flawless. And I do think that you can see that he's got the ability, but for some reason, it's just not clicking at the moment with his feet. However, a couple of good saves that will give him a bit of confidence.
Yeah, and in fact, this is another example of the foot save that we just spoke about, where on the angle, takes up a good position, good set position, very sharp to make the save. Made a sharp save down to his right as well in the second half. So a couple of crucial saves. And certainly when Brentford were on the ropes a little bit in the second half, you know, key save. And pleased for him, because I don't think he's had the easiest start. So to have a game like this will give him a lot of confidence. Because as we've said several times, you know, stepping in for David Raya, I think whoever it was always going to be very, very difficult, in that David Raya has really made that spot his own and is so popular with the Brentford fans. But yeah, very hopeful that this will now give him a platform to build on.
We'll go on to the last of those similar saves, and that was from David De Gea, as Manchester United drew one apiece with Chelsea. Few good saves from De Gea, one from Hudson-Odoi, the save in question. Also the fingertips from the Antonio Rudiger long ranger.
Yeah, very good save. Moved across well and made it look reasonably simple, I guess I'd say, in that he moved his feet, took up a very deep position, which I think was the right thing to do from where it was. Moved his feet very well to his right and got up there very quickly. And it's very different. I mean, it's a completely different strike to, say, the one that Aaron Ramsdale saved. But you could argue similarities in terms of where the ball goes, and it's just different techniques you can use in order to make the save. David De Gea has moved his feet rapidly and got a right hand up and got enough of a hand to get it onto the crossbar, whereas obviously Aaron Ramsdale has gone with a different technique and got it up and over the bar. You know, I don't think there's necessarily a right or a wrong here. But no, I thought David De Gea, again, the save on the angle, very good, made a good spread at point of impact, made himself very big. And again, he's just looking confident, I guess I'd say, is the word. You know, we keep referencing it, but it's nice to see that there's more and more solid performances.
Jamie Carragher on commentary, by the way, for that save, didn't even reference it. I don't think Martin Tyler even referenced it either. All over the place. The goalkeeper's all over the place there for that Rudiger save because, as we always say, it didn't look that pleasant, did it? Yeah. It was a bit scrappy, but it doesn't matter.
It's effective. And that goes back, and that's where I think, you know, the Aaron Ramsdale save, and this isn't taking anything away from the Aaron Ramsdale save, but it looks phenomenal. But the outcome is still very similar or pretty much the same. And I think that's where, you know, us as goalkeeping geeks, we're looking at those smaller details that actually it doesn't matter a lot of the time. And if anything, actually, David De Gea, he is a goalkeeper that makes saves look beautiful. And that, I'm not saying that in a negative because, you know, I know people can talk about goalkeepers and say that they make saves look better than they are. But I think, you know, David De Gea ordinarily is a goalkeeper that I would say is aesthetically very pleasing. You know, the way in which he makes that top hand save, he glides almost when he explodes. Whereas other goalkeepers are a bit more raw, but again, get the desired result. I think a lot of it for me is looking through that side of things and actually just appreciating a save for what it is. This is a shot from, what, 20, 25 yards that is moving all over the place, arrowing into the top corner with pace, with dip. This beats a lot of goalkeepers, and he somehow found a way to get a hand to it and keep it out.
I scribbled down a few notes during the Sunday games. Now, this isn't a commentary corner, but it was Roy Keane and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank who were in the studio on Sky Sports. And Roy Keane actually credited Alvaro Fernandez and David De Gea, but made a point of saying, this is unlike me, to credit the goalkeeper. But Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, now this goes back to the saves in question that you've been talking about on the angle, goalkeeper on his front post. Jimmy said both times that the players should score. It was Solomon Rondon for Everton against Brentford, and he said it's simply a case of just hitting it to the far corner and then it goes in. With Callum Hudson-Odoi's effort, he said it was simply a case of going higher. Now, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank is a striker, right? This is a goalkeeper podcast, and we always profess that, you know, goalkeepers know best when it comes to stuff like this. But as a striker, do we then offer him the same respect? Because it just seemed like it was formality to him that if they do that, they score. Of course they do. If they hit it high, it goes in. If he hits it to the far angle and not the near angle, it goes in. Is that the case?
It's just perspectives. That's all it is. And as you say, he's not seeing, he can't see it from the goalkeeper's point of view, which then I suppose goes back to the point in question and the point of what we're doing here, which is that's fine, just don't comment on goalkeepers then. Because if you're only seeing it from that perspective, then do not comment on goalkeepers. By all means, say the striker should score. Do not mind that. Just don't comment on goalkeepers. Which is where, like, again, we'll just go off on the same tangent here about Roy Keane, Gary Neville, etc., etc. But that's the exact point. Comment from your perspective, which is an outfield perspective. You're right, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, as a striker, of course, if he's then played that game and he's had those chances and hasn't scored, he's coming off disappointed that he hasn't scored. So by all means, comment on that. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. It just winds me up when it turns and suddenly they start to try to talk about the intricacies of goalkeeping when they don't know.
Scared me a bit there, mate. You went really stern, right into my eyes.
I mean, it was so fun, the beginning of this podcast, and now it's taken a rather severe twist.
We're all over the place. A man who wasn't all over the place, Alisson. Now, Liverpool won 4-0. It's not often that we talk about the victorious goalkeeper when a team win 4-0, but still, a good performance from him. So solid. He is having an excellent season.
So solid. What's the classic so solid?
21 seconds,
yeah. I mean, he didn't need 21 seconds to come off his line. He was so sharp off his line. Actually, very clever goalkeeping. I think it was Thiago, I think, lost the ball. And the ball's only just broke into the box. But the speed at which he recognised the situation came out. Bravery. Even the angle at which he dived, he realised that the player was going to go round him. So he kind of dived out almost a little bit more to ensure that even with that little toe poke, he was going to get there. So I just thought really clever goalkeeping, which, I mean, it's a word we associate with Alisson quite regularly. Good save on the angle, good save low right. Thought his positioning, again, was excellent for the one. They went low right in particular, which, again, is just that intelligent goalkeeping, taking up the optimum position at all times. And it was, he's another goalkeeper that just makes it look so uncomplicated.
We started with Snow, so we'll finish this particular section with Snow and just touch on Leicester 4, Watford 2. Dan Backman back in for Watford because Ben Foster is out for a period of time. But conditions for this one, absolutely insane. Kasper Schmeichel, however, another good performance from him.
Yeah, a couple of impressive contributions. The one from the angle in particular I really enjoyed, just for the fact that we spoke about this a lot. When the shot comes in at the angle, it's very difficult sometimes to parry it into a safe area because you are effectively, let's say you're on the left-hand side of your goal on the angle, to then parry it out for a corner on the right-hand side, you need to have the finest of touches. There's certainly not much of a margin for error. You know, even parrying it out across the six-yard box, well, someone could come in and tap it in. So I think we're seeing more and more goalkeepers that have the that are able to recognise that if there is a way to parry it back from where it came from, that is actually the safest play. And I saw that here where it was very deliberate. As it's come down to his right-hand side, gets down very quickly, big strong hand back where it came from, and that was the safest play in that particular moment. So look, we just spoke about Alisson with intelligent goalkeeping. For me, that was really intelligent goalkeeping.
And for Dan Backman, you can just imagine he woke up on Sunday morning, looked out the window and thought, oh, crying out loud, I'm replacing Ben Foster, I'm getting my chance in the team, and look at this. He actually complained at half time and said, I can't see the ball.
Really?
I can't see it.
Yeah, but it was ridiculous. Second half, it was ridiculous. And but it does sound like he will get another opportunity now. Obviously, don't know the extent of Ben's injury, but if it is a strain, then no doubt he will get a handful of games. And certainly, I think from his point of view, having played such a key role in them getting promoted and started the season okay, it wasn't necessarily bad performances as to why he came out. So this does now give him a real opportunity going into the Christmas period, obviously a lot of games. So it'll be really interesting to see how he does.
So, just like last week, Richard, we are going to do the EFL rundown, not just the Championship rundown, okay? We're going to whiz through the Championship, League One, and League Two.
Fantastic.
Okay?
All combined.
So, we'll start with the Championship. Of course, Luke Daniels, an unfortunate own goal. Yet again, we see one of these goals. I reckon we're on a record for goalkeeper own goals this season. That was in Middlesbrough's win at Huddersfield. Matija Sarkic with a couple of decent starts for Birmingham as they beat Blackpool. Marek Rodak, the classic case of the foul on the goalkeeper from the corner. That was in Fulham's draw at Preston. And then Ainsley Pearce, good to see him back on the pitch for Blackburn.
Indeed, yes. I felt incredibly sorry for Luke Daniels. Nothing he could do with this one. Obviously, deflection back in towards the post. Tries to react, hits the post, hits him. Just one of those freak goals. Nothing he could do. Sarkic, again, very good. Really is performing very well at Birmingham. Making a real name for himself. Marek Rodak, foul all day. Just ridiculous. I've watched this several times and the player's got absolutely no interest in the ball. He is just stopping Marek Rodak getting there. This is where we need VAR in the Championship.
Handball as well, by the way.
Handball.
Three
as well.
Times. Two or three times. Yeah, insane.
So I really didn't enjoy that at all. And yeah, no, please for Ainsley Pearce. I mean, I haven't really spoke about him much on the podcast at all because, of course, he made the move to Blackburn. Kaminski has been in such fine form and been fit the whole time, so it's never really been, or there's never been that opportunity for him. But again, without knowing how long Kaminski is going to be out for, you'd think this will now give him a run of games potentially.
Into League One, Oxford United, Connell Truman, a clean sheet for him and them. We'll get your view on the quite remarkable issues there at Oxford with two of their goalkeepers out at the moment. Dimitar Mitov maybe at fault for the Sunderland opener in Cambridge's defeat to Sunderland. Ron Hoffman the same. However, Hoffman with a very good save late on in that one. Cat-like, I think you'd call that. Craig McGivalray, a good save in Charlton's defeat at Shrewsbury. But what a save that was from close range. And Jamie Cumming, a cracker of a performance for Gillingham at home to Portsmouth, but also on the losing side. I thought his performance in particular probably earned the League One Team of the Week for me.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with that. I think another contender would be Andy Fisher as well, played very well at MK. But Jamie Cumming, a couple of these saves in particular, the tip onto the bar that he made, I thought the recognising of the danger, found himself off his line, the speed at which he got back, and again, the power he showed to get up, get enough of a fingertip to put it on the bar, I thought was very, very good. Good save on the angle as well. In fact, double save in the end, where he's made a good save, parried it out into a good area, up quickly, got himself across the goal, then made the tip over the bar. Aerially looked strong. Distribution was good on the day as well. Yeah, top, top performance from him. And you mentioned the Craig McGillivray save, and it was an incredible reaction first and foremost. And then the technique that he adopted, incredibly flexible to get himself up into the top corner in the way that he did. But arguably the save of the weekend. I'll probably give it certainly a contender, if not the save of the weekend. I thought it was very, very good. And Dimitar Mitov, I felt for him. This again, we mentioned the conditions, and the conditions certainly played a part here. You could see as the ball comes over, the wind does take it, and the speed at which it then is whipped in, going towards the far post. And it's a real difficult one, because I don't know what you do as a goalkeeper, because the moment you know you're not going to get there, what Dimitar Mitov decided to do was go for it. He's obviously dived and tried to get there, probably knowing he's not going to get anywhere near it, and it almost comes off the post or hits something, comes back, hits him and goes in. So it's unlucky, one that he'll be frustrated with. But the question I'd ask is, what do you do? What's the alternative? When you know it's going over, do you just turn and set? It might go in the far corner. You're still going to get some stick if it does, if it goes directly in from a corner. But I do feel this is one of those situations where the wind did play a big part.
Into League Two, can we please have one of these? Yes, it is the goalkeeper assist klaxon, Richard, and another assist for Mark Oxley. I think it might be his second of the season, you know. I need to check this. I'm sure he's had one already this season, if not last season. But that was for Harrogate at Swindon. Liam Roberts, a very good save from a Tom James free kick as Northampton won their game against Leyton Orient. Dean Bouzanitz with a few saves to thwart Barrow. Jason Lutweiler and Tom King with two excellent saves in Salford's win over Oldham 2, tipping them on to post and bar respectively.
Indeed, indeed. Just to reference the assist, again, lovely kick. Really lovely.
Good old kick.
Oh, kicked it so hard. So hard and so far. But actually, I'll give him a little bit more credit than, I think it was Ben Foster last time, wasn't it? Where that was like an old school punt that just happened to turn into assist. I thought this was a really clean, crisp, you know, you're talking about the clean, crisp day that we're now enjoying. This was the equivalent as a kick.
I don't think we referenced that at the beginning. I think that was in the previous take.
In the previous.
But we did speak about clean, crisp days.
We did. We did. Oh, was that the first? That take was brilliant, by the way. I wish we still had that somewhere, but you lost it. But no, I thought it was a very lovely strike and deserved an assist. And to mention others, Liam Roberts, excellent save, top hand. We spoke about Aaron Ramsdale earlier, obviously with a slightly different preference on this type of shot. But I thought this was the save you see more often now. You know, that one where you do go full stretch, arch the back, top hand, tip over the bar. Technically very, very good. Move well. Top save.
Yep, and one more name actually we should flag is Jake Turner on loan at Colchester and Oxford. You didn't clear up the Oxford situation either.
Didn't. No, true. I didn't. You interrupted me. I was going to. That's not true. They've had a bit of a tough couple of weeks on that front. So Jack Stevens going down with the glandular fever, but I know he is coming back to fitness now, hopefully within the next week or two. It can always be a nasty one, that, so obviously we wish him well, but he should be fit very soon. But then of course Simon Eastwood contracting COVID, I think he's got another day or two of isolation. But yeah, you're one and two going down in quick succession. They needed the emergency loan, and they got a very good one in fairness. They looked at lots of different possibilities from what I know, but to get Connell Truman, who I know at Birmingham very highly rated, has gone alone a couple of times, arguably hasn't gone quite as maybe he would have hoped previously, but he's certainly done himself a lot of favours with this one, with two excellent performances for Oxford.
And Jake Turner,
excellent. Two games, two team of the weeks. Doesn't get much better than that. Jake Turner, interesting CV, obviously at Newcastle, on loan to Colchester. Coming on loan to Colchester effectively as a number two behind Shamar George, going to get some cup games, etc. But now he's been given his chance in the league due to an injury to Shamar George, and it's safe to say that he's certainly taken it. In fact, I watched both the games he's played, Exeter in particular. Tough, tough game to beat them 3-1. And then to get a point against Newport, very good. And actually in both games, the amount of shots on target, I think against Newport had 10 shots on target. He's made three or four excellent saves. And similarly in the previous game, you look at the stats and you could argue that Exeter were the better team, but certainly he's been in fine form in both games. And it'll be a really interesting decision now that Shamar George is coming back to fitness. Do you stick with Jake Turner or do you go with Shamar George?
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper, keeper.
Right, Richard, quick in and out today. No clean sheet club. We're going to save that for next week. Again, the anticipation.
I know. I mean, it could have changed drastically.
I think there will be quite a change since we last did that. But a couple of fun stories to finish, hey? The first one is from our good friend, Alireza Bademvand, the Iranian goalkeeper with the extremely long throw, which he did throw 61.26 metres in 2016 in an international fixture against South Korea. That has finally been recognised by the Guinness Book of World Records. So he is a world record holder.
There you go. 61 metres.
Amazing, isn't
it? It's phenomenal.
How do you throw the ball that long?
I wish I could kick it that far.
Do you have a world record?
Not that I know of, like, no.
You have to think about
that. No, I'm just thinking whether there's anything that I've done which has been extraordinary in my life, but now you've just made me realise that there isn't.
It's a shame, isn't it? Don't have a world record.
You do then. Is that what we're going with this?
Well, it's not a big deal, is it, mate?
Go on. What is it you've done?
I mean, doesn't really matter, does
it? Okay, let's move on then.
Okay, well, if you ask, I hold the world record for playing a video game to the largest stage front audience, if you must know.
Okay, was that actually set up for you to do that?
That was just something that I trained really, really hard to do and eventually ended up on the main stage at the Isle of Wight Festival just before Jay-Z. I warmed the crowd up.
Right, playing what in particular?
It was a mixture of Gorillaz and Marvin Gaye, if I remember rightly. It was like Heard It Through the Grapevine and one of the Gorillaz tracks, which I can't actually remember. But yeah, played on the main stage at Isle of Wight. Was petrified that I was going to be pelted with bottles of urine.
Were you?
Yeah, no, I wasn't, thankfully. But they were very clever, weren't they?
Playing video games?
Playing a video game. DJ Hero.
That's what I meant. Ah, right, okay. Yeah. Are you any good at that?
Well, I was for that particular moment, yeah.
Really?
Haven't played it since.
Mental, but, someone with no rhythm.
But yeah, 16,000 people.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, all there to see me and not Jay-Z, of course.
Were they excited by you
Very
playing?
Very excited, yeah. I got the crowd moving.
Yeah. God, I can imagine when you came off stage, the groupies must have been all over you.
But there you go, mate.
There you go.
That's something for you to aspire to.
Yeah, well, I now need a world record.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. And the final story is just quickly from this ridiculous scenario over in Portugal between Belenenses and Benfica. Don't know whether you saw this. Basically, they played on Saturday evening and there was a COVID outbreak in the squad for Belenenses, which meant they could only field 9 players, right? 2 of them being goalkeepers and the other 7 were under 21 players. Benfica at full strength for the game. So they were 7-0 ahead at half time, right? Own goal was scored after 25 seconds. They didn't come back out, Belenenses. I think I'm saying that right, by the way, for the second half. Eventually they came out. Only 7 players emerged minutes after they took the kickoff. Seconds, in fact, I think, after they took the kickoff for the second half. João Monteiro, the goalkeeper who was playing outfield, went down injured, in inverted commas. Game called off.
Because there are 6 players.
Yeah.
Is that what happens when you're 6? It gets, yeah.
But insane. How did the game go ahead? A lot of players actually tweeted and said, this is ridiculous. How has the game gone ahead?
Yeah. What happens then? What's the result? Or is the game replayed?
I don't know the answer. Sometimes the old school thing was a 3-0 victory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For the team. But because they did field a team and the player was injured, how can you prove that he is not injured?
Yeah.
So interesting.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Ever feign an injury, Richard?
No. I had plenty of injuries. I wish some of them weren't true or real, but they're very much real. Still struggle with them now.
Okay, I think that is us done. You're a busy boy. We're coming up to January, aren't we?
Yeah,
busy time.
Lots going on in the goalkeeping world. Expect all sorts of goalkeeping move. In fact, there's not going to be that much movement in January.
There never is.
It's always in the summer.
It's the return of GKs on their way. Come on.
True. There will be, my prediction, there will be a few. I think in the Championship we might see maybe 2 or 3 of note. I think Premier League, maybe 1. League 1, League 2, plenty of loans.
Okay. So there's loans to talk about.
Lots of loans.
And one move in the Premier League. How exciting. Who's that going to be?
Can't tell you that.
Okay, Richard. Thank you so much.
No, Matthew, it's absolutely my pleasure.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, keep us
away.